The United States of America, known as the land of the free, home of the brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States their home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the 6 Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with 2 charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. And in the face of the worst human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S. From Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled We Must Find Our Real Self in Los Angeles, California, USA, in April 3, 1993.
we'd like to introduce to you the next guest speaker, our fellow initiate, Greg Parks. Greg Parks would be sharing with you his experience in meditation.
Good afternoon. I'm sure you're all very interested in hearing what Master has to say, so I'll try and be brief. I just wanted to relate some of my personal experience after having been initiated and began meditation with the Kuan Yin method. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and even though I had attended church regularly and religious classes, not Catholic school, but I never really got a true feeling of understanding of what the bigger questions of life were all about. It seemed much more ritualistic, and traditions and that kind of thing didn't really answer my larger questions about life. And then as a young adult, I started talking to some friends, and they started introducing me to different philosophies like Zen and other Oriental or Eastern philosophies. So I started getting some books, and this was the first I had ever heard of the concept of enlightenment, that which had never been presented to me. So it seemed like this is really the way to go, because all the limitations that I've been learning throughout my life could be erased, and I could go to a higher level of consciousness and really, do something positive. So I tried meditation based on what I'd read in a couple of books, and I really didn't feel like I was doing anything. I had no direction. And some of the books talked about different things that you could achieve. A lot of them were about practices of physical nature, developing the body and the mind together. And the achievements of those seemed to be much more in the way of trickery, or things like walking on hot coals, and that didn't seem to be great achievements. So finally I got the book that talked about a form of supreme enlightenment. They were talking about masters that had reached a great enlightenment, and the difference really struck a chord with me. I really became inspired to set that as my goal. And from that point on, a lot of things that I had to decide in my life became easier, because I knew what my goal would be, to go towards this enlightenment. But for several years, I had no direction to take to get there. It only talked about the enlightenment. It did not say anything about what to do, until a friend of mine gave me a couple of Master Ching Hai's books. And in those books, the first thing I read was about being vegetarian. And I immediately decided, well, this is easy enough, and I had no argument with what she had presented. It was so logical and clear that I just immediately became vegetarian. But that was more of a lifestyle change. I really wanted to see what the method of attaining enlightenment was like. So I went to Taiwan, and I received initiation. And from that point on, things after you meditate seem to become much more simple. When there are problems, for example, when you're working, you really understand that there's not really a problem. Even though there may be a deadline and it may look like there's going to be a disaster, deep inside of you, you really understand that there is no problem. Even you don't really have to know what the outcome will be. But the calm that you get after having meditated, you can bring forward in your daily life and keep a positive attitude with everything you do. Sometimes it's very difficult because people around you are very panicked and, a lot of doomsayers. So you have to sit down and relax and get back to that level of calm that you practice with meditation. And that seems to be the real lesson that I've been learning to this point. I've only been initiated for a little less than a year. But the inner calm and the reinforcement of your higher nature that you can bring out in your daily life and actually affect people around you. When people are getting panicked and they come to you and you have this calm nature, they maybe in their minds are still worried, but for some reason you can help them. and take the whole situation into a much more positive atmosphere. So even though we're right across the street from the happiest place on earth, it seems to me that, or I've been learning, that the happiest place on earth is where you make it and where you are. And the ability to bring that out from inside of yourself, no matter where you are, whether you're at Disneyland or if you're, you know, working on something that seems to have nothing but problems, you can get to the happiest place on earth by practicing your meditation and by learning to train yourself to stay in that kind of a consciousness. So that's basically my experience so far with the meditation. I have not, like I said, I've only been initiated less than a year, but it really has an overall benefit that if more people in the world would do it, I'm sure we would have a much better place to live. Thank you.
On behalf of the disciple and the people who are gathering today, we sincerely ask the Master Qinghai to open the lecture today.
So I wish you a very pleasant evening together. We have always heard that the kingdom of God is within us, and the Buddha nature is inside all of us. Now the Buddha nature and the so-called kingdom of God are not two different things. It is different names to define, to describe the same thing. It's just like in different language, we call flowers with different intonation. If the kingdom of God, if God is within us, why couldn't we find it? It is because we have forgotten how great we are, how true happiness can be only found if we really know ourselves. Many people are happy, they think they're happy because they have a lot of money, or they're proud to be in a very high social position. And we sometimes are proud of being very educated, have a vast knowledge of many things pertaining to life on earth. But these things are not permanent and not the whole knowledge of the universe. If somehow we can forget these ephemeral matters for time being, and deeply contemplate on who we are and why we are here or what we are made of, then we'll be able to know our greatness or the kingdom of God which is within ourselves, or the Buddha nature, if you are allergic to God. If we want to be proud of ourselves, I think we should be proud properly, because we are the greatest in the whole universe. And if we know that, then we should truly be proud. But of course, after knowing ourselves, we do not feel any pride at all, because it is just a very normal affair. It's just like we have placed something in our pocket, and then now we rediscover it after searching all over the houses and couldn't find. True happiness are not offered by the high position of the world, by the knowledge that we gain from books of from the society or from the possession that we have. But true happiness can only come with self-realization, with enlightenment. Then when we laugh, we truly laugh. And when we cry, we are truly touched. And all our emotions are worked out in a harmonious, natural, and perfect way. Leaving our body and mind relieved of all burdens and unnecessary pressure, which causes a lot of our unknown illnesses or many mental disturbances. And then when, after enlightenment, then when we understand something, we truly understand. Very deep, very profound, very satisfying. And then we truly know happiness. Even though in life, we still encounter a lot of difficulties, a lot of undesirable situation. But then, within ourselves, we are unshakable. We might shed tears, but we are not miserable. We are not weighed down by the misery, the sorrow that we encounter. We might laugh very heartily, but we will not be attached to the fleeting happiness which material world offers to us. We enjoy things, but we do not possess them. We sympathize with people, but we do not bind them to us. We love everyone without feeling a possessive impulse that having to have to bind people around us all the time. This is then the true happiness. Many of us think that to attain the kingdom of God, it takes a very long time, or it is impossible. Only Jesus or Buddha can do it. But if we remember very clearly, in the Bible it is said that Jesus has stated that whatever I do, you can do, and you can do better. And the Buddha say, I have already achieved Buddhahood, and you will achieve Buddhahood. What is this Buddhahood or the Buddha nature? We can call this is the great intelligence, the great wisdom, which inherent within all of us. And by rediscovery of this wisdom, there's nothing we cannot do. No space we cannot traverse. No task is too difficult. And we do things without effort. We can rescue many people from hell. We can bless the world with our spiritual light, and we can ascend to heaven whenever we wish. And even in our daily life, we will attain true happiness through having realized our wisdom. Our situation in life may change or not change, but still, we have very deep happiness within us, which nothing, no situation can shake. We might appear to be shaken in some situations, but then within our soul, our heart, there will come forth, will radiate forth a very stable peace, very solid tranquility, which makes us happy and content in every situation. So Sometimes, in dealing with our daily affairs, we cannot help to feel some frustration or dissatisfaction. But still, if we are enlightened, we have a very different attitude, because we know that God's will shall be done. We know that this world, however charming, however real it looks, it is only a shadow of the true world, which is within us, which is only one hairbreadth apart. And we can anytime walk back into that reality to console ourselves, to verify to ourselves that anything happened in this world is illusionary. And we have a choice not to stay within this dark world, because we do. This morning at brunch time, one of my disciples sat there with me and was chatting over his experiences. It's nothing much, really. You might be surprised and disappointed, because he talked about hell, not heaven. Of course, he went to heaven other times too, and he told me already. But this morning, I don't know why he talked about hell. It was like this. He went to hell, probably out of curiosity to have a look. Probably he was fed up with heaven already, since he has been there many times. So he wanted to have a change, went to hell. Luckily, he didn't go to a very, very deep and horrible one, just a kind of outskirt of hell-like. So he went there and he saw that the streets were very small and dark, slippery and depressing. And the house is just similar to ours here, but very dull, very dark, very dim, and no light. And the sky above, instead of blue and bright like our sky, is dark, is depressing, and there's no light in it. The houses are all covered with, and it's wet and damp and very depressing. And as soon as he entered there, he felt such a depression, pressure in his soul, that he wanted to cry, but he couldn't even cry. It was such a depression that he could not even cry out to relieve himself, and the tears will not even fall down. And he just felt like joking, without anyone doing anything physically to him, without anyone ever spoken anything, any abusive word to him. He just felt oppressed. And so he walked around there, opened his mouth, wanting to cry, but couldn't even cry out. Now he walked around there all the time, and then he remembered the method that I have taught him in such a situation. And then, of course, he made use of it. And then he felt better, and he came nearer and nearer to the entrance. Before he came to the entrance, he came to a point where the road separated into two. One is going up, bright, wider road and brighter, go up. And the other one go deeper underneath. Must be into a more intensive care hell. It's just like hospital. Hell is a kind of hospital to repair some people's with perverted view about life and about heaven and earth and all that, which is contrary to the truth. So there are some intensive care station in that kind of hospital, which is very, very depressive, a very suffering indeed. And sometimes it could go on very long time if the person is very sick mentally or psychically. Now when he encountered that crossroad, and then he was very frightened and oppressed within his heart, so he prayed to the Master Power. And then he was able to walk toward the lighter path. Otherwise he was kind of rooted there and feeling very, very frightened, very depressed. Without anything happened to him, it is just the atmosphere in that hell that makes people depressed without ever doing anything. It's just like he was asking me why. So I kind of explained to him. I said, because the atmosphere is different from your own. Therefore, you couldn't bear it. If you go deeper, it would be terrible. Probably not easy to come back. Just like we are human beings, and if we happen to go underwater, we could bear it for a while. But still we feel the pressure of the volume of water above and about us, around us. Therefore we couldn't bear it very long and we'd be suffocated without anything being done to us. Similarly, if a human being of a dignified standard goes to hell, have a look, then of course he will suffer this difference in a vibratory current. Therefore he felt very, very uncomfortable and near dying. It feels like mountains were up on you and you couldn't move. You couldn't go get away from it. This experience I know also. Sometimes when I have to go there for some reason, maybe shopping, to see who is a good soul to bring up, shopping in hell can be very uncomfortable. But that was not a very deep hell. So now, when he turned to the wider and brighter road, he saw a very big gate. And outside the gate is a different world altogether. Bright, happy, clear, everything is normal and beautiful. Inside the gate is a world of darkness, of depression, of suffering. So just walk out of the gate and he'd be in the light. Of course he saw many other things, but I don't think I would take up your time for this evening because we're not advertising hell tonight. Yes. You can laugh if you want, it doesn't matter. Express your humor. So he walked out into the gate and then into the light. So simple is that. But then he even had to pray to the master in order to walk out. You would think it's very easy, but it is not. If you go to such places, your feet seem to root there. And if we are not very highly virtuous, or if we don't have any reliable source of power besides us, it is not easy to get out. That's why most of the people, when they fall into the state of lower consciousness, like the so-called hell, they couldn't help themselves to get out. Even though it's just a door apart, they couldn't go out. And nobody was at the door to guard the door at all. But no one could ever walk out. They didn't think of walking out. The atmosphere was so binding, so confining, that everyone was rooted inside and couldn't get out. Now we feel very depressing when we were there because we are human and we are not used to with such lower vibratory currents. It's just like the animals, for example, the pigs, yeah? They're very happy in their den and they're rolling around in fields and all that and they feel happy. But if we were to be in there for even a few minutes, we do not feel content. We would like to walk out. So there are different levels of consciousness which manifest in different kind of world for different beings to satisfy their subconscious level of understanding. We can regress for a while, not regressing, just probably go around in a different corner for a while that may be darker than where we stand. That is the lower world of hell and all that. And we could walk into directly into the light, therefore step up our consciousness. It's all up to us. And if we could not do it ourselves, then we should try to find someone who has experience in such business, and they will help us.
Thank you for joining us today on Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of We Must Find Our Real Self. Up next on Supreme Master Television is A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms. May your days be beautiful and joyous.